who's going to be taking our class. Most of you know Dr. Gonzalez, the dean of Reformed Baptist Seminary, and the church is aware that, at least most of the members are aware that we are an overseeing church of Reformed Baptist Seminary and have been for a while, and there's been some adjustments being made in terms of the administration and administrative structure of the seminary so that the actual physical headquarters of the seminary is going to be moving here to Coconut Creek and Emmanuel. And so God willing, Pastor Gonzalez is going to be moving here, and they're here, he and his wife, Becky, looking at places to rent so that they can move out here hopefully in January and get started here. And most of you know this, Dr. Gonzalez and I, Becky, we've all known each other for many years. We were actually pastors together in South Carolina for 8 years at Covenant Reformed Baptist Church, and that's actually where the seminary started, if you could call it that. It was like Nehemiah's wall, someone said. If a fox climbed upon it, it would fall down. But God's blessed it over the years, and it's grown, and a lot of that's been through the work and efforts of Dr. Gonzalez. So he's going to, I asked him if he would this Sunday morning for this Sunday school class to just share information about the seminary and what's happening of late. So he's going to be doing that in just a few moments. So let me open our time together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you today, we are grateful for your mercies to us throughout this week, and they are new every morning, and your kindness to us has been abundantly displayed to us, not just in the temporal things of this life, but most of all because we have Christ. And we thank you that you have redeemed us by his blood. You've made us your special people to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we come before you today to worship you, to learn about you, also to exhort and encourage one another in our most holy faith and in our walk with Christ. And as we stand at the threshold of this Lord's Day, we pray that you would help us to derive from it all of the benefit that you intend for your people to enjoy on this day. We do count the Lord's Day Sabbath as a blessing and a great delight to our souls. We're so thankful that we can, with good conscience, lay aside other legitimate affairs of life and focus our heart's attention upon that which is most dear to the hearts of your people, even the things of Christ. And so now, as Dr. Gonzalez comes to in the context of this class and shares with us about the seminary, we pray that you would bless him, strengthen him in body and spirit, and give him freedom of speech and communication. And we pray that your spirit would accompany the things he says, that we might be better informed about the work that you're doing and more enthused about and energized and zealous for the great work of raising up and training men for the gospel ministry, to send them out to take the good news to other places, to shepherd your people, plant churches, and to do all of those things that you've called us to do as Christian churches. So we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. Then we had technical difficulties trying to get this file uploaded. And then this thing here doesn't seem to fit well. And so I don't know if you ever have those feelings where, you know, you're about to do something and things just aren't working out exactly the way you want it. So you just pray, Lord, help me to do the best I can. But it's a pleasure to be here. Some of you already know me. Some of you maybe do not. I'll just give you a quick biographical sketch. So I was born in California in 1963 and raised nominally Roman Catholic. But in my latter teen years, after getting in lots and lots of trouble, I began to cry out to God, not really knowing God at that time, but believing that there was a God, and I asked him to reveal himself to me and to help me with my sin. I didn't really, again, understand sin at that time, but I just knew that somehow I needed help. And about that time, a friend of mine was converted. He began to witness to me. And long story short, I eventually was converted age 22. I went off to a Christian school in South Carolina, Bob Jones University, where I met my wife, Becky. And then eventually went up to Grand Rapids to study under Greg Nichols and Sam Waldron and Dave Merrick. And that's how I became Reformed Baptist. In Grand Rapids for about 4 years, then down in Louisiana for another 4 years, and then we went over to Easley, and that's where I was pastoring with Jeff at Covenant Reformed Baptist Church in Easley, and also working on a PhD at Bob Jones University in Old Testament. And about that time is when we started RBS, and that was in 2005. So I was there in Easley for a while, then moved over to Taylor, South Carolina, then to Sacramento, and now, lo and behold, we found a good excuse to leave California, like everybody else in California, and to come to Florida. But it's an adventure. Life is an adventure. We don't always know what Providence has for us around the corner. But, you know, we want to just go with the flow as long as we know that the Lord is directing that flow. And we're actually looking forward to coming to Florida. We're not excited about the prices of the housing here. Of course, it's not that much worse than where we are in California, but we know the Lord has something for us, so we're just, you know, patiently waiting for that. What I want to do this morning is just share with you a little bit about RBS. Again, some of you already know a little bit about RBS, some of you do not, so I'm going to just give you a little bit of an overview of the kind of programs that we offer, a little of our history, talk about some of our modules or classes. And at the end, I want to just open up for any questions that you have, okay? So, all right, Reformed Baptist Seminary. Let me tell you a little bit about RBS. So we were founded in May of 2005. There was a little seminary in Easley that Jeff and I had started. I think we gave it two or three different names over its short history. And then there was a school that had already been established in Grand Rapids for some time, I think since 1992, called Reformed Baptist School of Theology. So that school was really, they were questioning whether they were going to be able to continue. And so we went to them and we said, why don't we just merge our efforts? And I was working on a PhD and I offered to, I would serve as the administrator, the dean. And so that's what we did. We had 9 students when we first started back then. And we have right now about 110, 115 students this semester. It kind of goes up and down a little bit, but we've grown a little bit. So these are some pictures from some of our early classes in Easley. And you might recognize that guy up in the upper right-hand corner, or upper left-hand corner, I should say, Pastor Jeff. The seminary is currently under the oversight of 5 local churches. So I mentioned that we started with 2 churches. As we grew, we eventually added a 3rd church, and then we went up to 5 churches, then to 6 churches for a while. Now we're back down to 5 churches. That's intentional because we think that if we're going to be training men and women to serve in the local church, and if we're going to be especially focused on training men to serve as pastors and missionaries and so forth, it should be something that the church itself is directing, not some kind of independent parachurch ministry. And there's more than just one church overseeing the seminary because there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And that helps to ensure the longevity of the seminary. So this is a recent photo. You might recognize some of those guys. That's kind of an odd guy on the left there, but this is in Greenville, South Carolina, this would represent the board and myself of RBS. Most of our instructors are currently engaged in church ministry as pastors, church planters, or missionaries. Again, that's intentional. We really think that if you're going to train to be a dentist, somebody who trains you should be working on pulling teeth and putting in implants and all of that. Well, in the same way, if you're going to be training to serve in the local church, we want you to be trained by men that are actively engaged in local church ministry. Not just theorizing about it in the ivory tower, but they're actively engaged as pastors or missionaries or church planters. And so those are the kinds of men that we have teaching for us. They are men who've been trained. They have, you know, credentials. They have experience. But they're also engaged in church ministry. And then also, RBS works closely with the student's own pastors who disciple him and provide him with the feedback on his ministry gifts within the context of the local church. That's why we refer to ourselves as a church-based seminary. That's not just a catchy slogan to promote ourselves, sort of like, you know, we're a Christ-centered or a gospel-centered church. That's a good thing, but what do we mean by that when we say church-based? Well, it means that, you know, we have pastors instructing, we have churches overseeing, and it also means that we're working with the student's own local church. Because in reality, we view the student's own pastor as his primary professor. We view the student's own local church as his primary seminary. That's the way we want him to think, all right? So that when somebody asks him, where are you going to seminary? His first answer should be Emmanuel Baptist Church. Who are your professors? His first answer should be my pastors, because they're mentoring him. They're teaching him. They're living out the faith in his presence. And so having an online program enables us to do that. In fact, when we interview the student and his pastor, what we do is we liken RBS to the golf caddy. And I think people in Florida play golf. It seems like there's a golf course on almost every block here. And so you know that the golf caddy doesn't really do the golfing per se, but he follows the golfer around and he hands him clubs. So what we do, RBS, is we're the golf caddy. We follow the student's pastors around and we say, okay, here's, try this. This is hermeneutics. Try this over here. This is doctrine of God. And then the pastor uses those tools to train men and women under his charge. So that's our role. And our purpose is to train men for gospel ministry. That's our primary purpose, to train men for formal ministry in terms of being a pastor, a missionary, church planter. And then secondarily, to equip lay people to serve Christ more effectively and to provide a quality theological education in a flexible and affordable format. Let me tell you about some of our programs. So we started off with around 92 credits when we first started, but a divinity program. That's sort of a standard program used to train men for pastoral ministry. I liken it to the MD as opposed to a PhD. So if you were into medicine and you wanted to work on people, you would get an MD, not a PhD. Right? PhD, you're normally looking through a microscope or writing books, giving lectures. But an MD, you're actually working on people. Well, in the same sense, an MDiv is not a strictly academic degree, because you're not going to just be writing books and giving lectures, but you're going to be working with people. So it has more of a practical slant along with the academics. So we offer both a BDiv, a Bachelor of Divinity, and an MDiv. In addition to that, though, we have some smaller programs. And what's nice about our smaller programs is that the credits for those programs will roll over into the larger programs. So you can start off as a student in one of the smaller programs and then work your way up to the larger. So in addition to the divinity program, we have what's called the Scholars Program. That's a 60-credit program. Master of Arts in Biblical Studies, Master of Arts in Theological Studies. And if you don't have a bachelor's degree, you can get an Associate of Arts in either of those two areas of specialization. In addition to that, we have an even smaller program called the Merrill Program. That's 34 credits. You can earn a Master of Theological Studies in any one of the four branches or areas of theological discipline: exegetical theology, historical, systematic, or practical. Or if you don't have a bachelor's degree, you can get a diploma of theological studies. More recently, we started a certificate program, which is a 24-credit program and in which you can earn a certificate of Reformed Baptist Studies. And at the heart of this particular program are five courses on systematic theology using the 1689 Confession as our template. And then in addition to that, we have a course on confessions and another course on particular Baptist history. And so this little program here is designed for lay people, particularly to ground them in the things most surely believed among us. We also have a counseling program, which is kind of a hybrid program, 63 credits, Master of Arts in Biblical Counseling. One of your pastors is about to finish that up, Pastor Faris. But we do that sort of in connection with CCEF, and ACBC. Both of those ministries focus on biblical counseling. One of them mainly provides curriculum. The other one provides certification. And so this program right now, it's kind of on hold. It started, but we're not taking new students right now because we're making some changes to the curriculum. Hopefully we'll start that up again in the fall. And then we also have a program with PRTS, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, in which a student can take some credits with RBS but earn a degree through Puritan. So most of the classes are going to be through Puritan, but you can take especially Baptist distinctive classes with RBS. Oh, yeah, Joel Beakey is it the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. So that's a really good, very reputable school. And we have such a good relationship with them that they'll recognize all of our credits and programs and allow our students to go into one of their advanced degree programs. So if you got an MDiv with RBS, you can then go into Puritan and get a THM or a PhD or something like that. Okay. I alluded to earlier that we provide online learning in an asynchronous format. Asynchronous just means that you don't have to do live streaming. You don't have to log in the same day, same time, every week to join the instructor and other students live, but rather we record the lectures, upload those, and then you can listen to them in a way that fits your own schedule. And because it's online, you can be learning remotely, so to speak. So we use a learning management software called Populi, and that's what our online campus would look like if you logged in. You would navigate to whatever course you're going to take. You would see the lessons laid out for you, and you just work your way through the lessons successively. In some cases, there's going to be lectures you're listening to, so you watch the lectures. You do the assignments, whether written assignments or exams. You can post questions on a dashboard. The teacher or the student can interact with you, and that's basically how it works. We also have an auditor's campus, so if you're here this morning and you say to yourself, boy, I'd like to sit in on some of the lectures or have access to them, but I'm not sure I want to necessarily pay for an education or earn a degree, you can go to our auditor's campus and access the lectures free of charge. Just go to our website. Up at the top, you'll see a little link that says audit free. That'll take you to this other website here that you see up on the screen, and you can just pick whatever course you want to watch the lectures for and work your way through the lectures. In addition to the online training, we have modular instruction. Most of our modular instruction is going to be in like a 1 week format or a 3 day format. But sometimes we may have like a semester length type course. We did that last fall, for example, and I taught Introduction to the Old Testament there in Sacramento. That gives the student kind of a classroom experience. And of course, some instructors do, some don't, but I lecture a lot from my slides. And there are the classmates, and you see my wife. She's one of my favorite students. We also had a module this past year on Christian life and worship. This is part of the 1689 Theology Project. So we took chapters 19 through 25 of the Confession, which focus a lot on ethics and worship and other aspects of, the Christian's relationship to society, marriage, things of that sort. And we kind of packaged that into a small module. And we had three different teachers for that one, basically lecturing on theology using the Confession as our guide. Some of you may recognize, well, you're looking at the back of his head, but this is Vadim Chaperny. Vadim's been here at least once, maybe twice, for a module. He's really the locomotive in some respects in RBS. He's the engine. He helps the seminary to run efficiently. He's multi-gifted and talented. He's not just seminary trained, but he's electrical engineering is his degree, but he's an expert in IT, audio, video, photography, you name it, just about everything. But so Vadim does a great job of setting up our classroom studio, doing the recordings and so on. Yeah, so Lord willing, Vadim will be coming this direction. The earliest he could be here would be March. His wife is expecting, and so they want to, make sure that that goes well. So you could pray for him, too, because that'll be a big move for him and his family. They'll have two children. Oh, three? Oh, Becky said three. Sorry. Getting old. I forget. All right, so this was the class for that particular module. We had Mark Chansky. You guys know Mark? Okay. Everybody knows Mark, right? Mark knows everybody. He knows everybody's name. I don't know how he does that, but he taught hermeneutics. What's neat about Mark, too, is that I've had many students just talk to me about how engaging his lectures are. They're not dry or boring, and he's fills them with illustrations. And by the way, as we're looking at these, I'm kind of hoping that some of you are thinking, wow, we're going to start having those here, I hope. And the answer is yes. That would be the plan, Lord willing. We had one on pastoral theology this past year with Robert Elliott, Jamie Howell, Jeffrey Johnson. That was in Riverside, California. And each of those men gave various lectures. For that, let me just make sure I'm, what time do we, 10 o'clock, okay. By the way, Jeff Johnson's lectures are based on a book he's written called Taming the Fingers. So we asked him to lecture on the pastor's use of social media, okay, because that's becoming an important issue in these days. Social media can be a great thing. It can also be a not so helpful thing. So that little booklet's going to be coming out pretty soon with Reformation Heritage Books, and I would highly recommend it. You don't need to be a pastor to get that book. It's for everybody. And it, the title says it all, Taming Your Fingers, all right? There's that group. And then, in May of this past year, again, some of you may recognize this fella here, Jeff Smith lectured on that sort of mid part of the Confession, lessons 10 through 18, dealing with soteriology, the doctrine of salvation applied. And so he did that course all by himself. That was in Sacramento again. And we also have a little merchandise. So if you're into the 1689 Confession and you want some really cool shirts. And I'll tell you, these are great ways to start conversations. So if you're out and about here in Florida and people see that shirt, they're going to say 1689 Theology Project, and it's very possible somebody would ask you, what is that all about? And then lo and behold, you get an opportunity to tell them. All right, RBS International. So in addition to having a seminary ministry here in the United States, and I will say that even though it's here in the United States, most of our students are American students. We do service a lot of students in Canada, some in England, Australia, South Africa, Latin America, Philippines, Japan, so on and so forth, English-speaking students. But we also have a ministry in which we'll go to different locations in the world where maybe they don't speak English and offer live modular instruction with a translator. And so we've really been doing that from the beginning in the Dominican Republic, as I'll highlight in a moment, but we've also had opportunities to do it elsewhere, and right now we're engaged in a ministry in Nepal. So this is a wonderful thing that's opening up for many church ministries all over the world, and that is training national pastors as another way to do missions. I think a very effective way, particularly in countries where there's already an evangelical presence. Many countries of the world, the gospel has gone into those countries, churches have been planted, but in many cases, those churches are very weak theologically, or they're not very well structured. And because of the fact that the internet and books being published, books being translated, what happens over time is, imagine you're a pastor in a third world country, and now you have access to things going on in the rest of the world, and you have access to media and sermons by men like R.C. Sproul or John Piper or John MacArthur, and you begin to watch and listen to these things because maybe you don't have a very big library. And over time, your theology begins to change, and reformation starts to happen in your own life personally, and then maybe it starts happening in the church. And so that's happening all over the world, and men in that situation are really ripe for being able to come alongside of them and saying, hey, would you like to get further training in these areas? And so as a result, there's kind of many reformations taking place all over the world. One of them has been taking place in the Dominican Republic, and this has really been taking place for some time now, maybe, since the 1990s. And Jeff and I, back in 2002, which is before RBS ever began, Jeff had a relationship with a pastor down there who asked him, can you offer theological instruction to us in a modular format? And Jeff said, sure. So 2002 is when I came to the church in Easley, and Jeff and I began to go down there with some others and teach classes. So that's Pastor Jeff right there, back of his head. And that was back in, 2004 maybe, 2003. I think that's Doctrine of God you were teaching. Just to give you a little bit of a feel for what it was like back then, most of those pastors there would be from charismatic churches, non-reformed churches. And when Jeff was teaching on the Doctrine of God, I think the first couple of lectures were not super well received. If I don't get this right, Jeff can correct me. But what I mean by that is that they were hearing new things, new emphases that they hadn't heard before. Things about the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, the majesty of God. So initially there were lots of questions, right? And almost sort of pseudo question objections. But by the end of the module, the students were very moved and humbled. And some of them, even with, tears coming down their eyes, testifying to the fact that they left the module with a bigger view of God. Okay? And they wanted more. So a lot younger back then, right? Just a lad. And then we've continued to do that through the years. This is a module I recently did there on the Old Testament. And the guy sitting to my left is Juan Perez. He is now the dean of a seminary they started in 2009. And so what they did is they took the things they learned from us, and they said, now we want to start our own seminary. We're going to teach it in Spanish. We're going to invite people from all over Latin America. And they've been doing that since. Now, it turns out that their last graduation service was, I think, in 2019. And this is Juan Perez. He graduated, by the way, from RBS with an MDiv, and he's working on his PhD right now. So this was the last time we had a graduation service down there. It was their 11th, 2019. Okay. You might say, well, why haven't they continued? Well, you can guess. What year is that? Okay, so they haven't been. But last I heard, they've started off this fall with the smaller program because they want to start small and then work their way back up. Lord willing, by next year, they'll be running again at full steam, inviting men from all over Latin America to come. They stay there for 1 year or about 10 months, immerse themselves in the church, and then once they're trained, they're sent back to their various countries in Latin America. And then I mentioned we're also involved in Nepal, particularly in a place called Butval and Kathmandu, which, you know, I'm not referring to the top of the mountain there, but there are mountains in Nepal, as you know, big ones. But we've been able to get various Reformed Baptist pastors to go there and lecture. There's Pastor McDearman. That's what a class would look like there. And we're doing this in connection with Heart Cry Ministries. Many of you know Paul Washer. In fact, Heart Cry is the ministry that came to us and said, would you train our pastors over in Nepal? And so that's what we're doing in connection with them. There's another group. This is the group in Kathmandu. This is the group in Butval. All right, if you want to learn more about RBS, go to our website, rbseminary.org. And, you know, you can go on our webpage. You can kind of just poke around, scroll down, click on links, and find out more information. And let me just conclude with these thoughts, since I alluded to COVID-19. You may know that the pandemic kind of forced a lot of schools to shut down. Of course, you guys live in Florida, so you may not know that, but just kidding. I live in California, so, you know, I know what shutdown's all about. But at least for a time, right? Initially, a lot of schools had to shut down, and probably for good reasons initially. But what that did is it forced schools to have to say, well, what if this lasted longer? How are we going to educate students? Maybe we ought to think about online learning. And so many students had to think about that. And, of course, that raised questions about, you know, the cost or the delivery. How do we do this? But what was interesting about that is it really gave schools like ours an opportunity to really reflect upon some of the advantages that we have. And one of those advantages is not just the flexibility, but the affordability of our seminary. So it costs us about $3,000 per student per year to give them an education. Now compare that to your average evangelical seminary, in which it would cost over $50,000 per student per year to educate them. Now, to be fair, I want to make sure to know that I'm not just comparing, you know, oranges and oranges, but maybe oranges and tangerines, because when I say it costs them over $50,000, they're probably talking about a full-time resident student, okay? And RBS is not resident, so we're not paying for dormitories or all these other building structures. But the point still remains, and that is, if you think of Reformed Baptist churches as a relatively small network of churches with a limited amount of resources, our churches can't afford to be training men for $50,000 a year per student, right? But our churches could afford $3,000 per student per year, all right? Now, keep in mind the fact that our students, their fees cover about 66% of our operating expenses. So I like to let churches know that, because churches and individuals who support RBS need to know that the students are not getting a free ride. We're not asking churches and Christians to just give our students a free ride through seminary. Our students have to come up with some of that money, more than half of it, okay? But at the same time, we don't want the student who maybe, you know, is leaving a very promising, financially promising vocation in order to prepare for the ministry, we don't want the student to go into great debt, because we know that when he gets a job as a pastor, he's probably not going to be making a big income to have to pay off that big student loan. So we use the donations and giving of churches to cover about 33% of our operating expenses. And that makes RBS a very cost-effective model for training men for ministry. In addition to the fact that our flexibility allows the student to stay in his home church under the mentorship of his pastors and be trained in the context of that ideal location where his gifts and his graces can be displayed before God's people and his assets be a blessing to his own local church. So that's RBS in a nutshell. Any questions? Pastor Jeff?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, Bob, that one of the things that's happening with Dr. Gonzalez coming here, because we have Nick here and myself here, is that we're going to be offering classes on a live basis for guys that are here, so that a guy can finish his whole training in 4 years. So with during a semester, on a semester basis, I'll be teaching one class a week, Pastor Nick and then Pastor Gonzalez as well, and then we'll have one module in a semester where a guy can knock that out, so you can finish four classes in one semester, and that's for live training here. And so that will be a little adjustment, kind of a live arm, not a distance learning aspect of it.
Yeah, amen. I should add real quick, too, to footnote. We do tell, when we interview students and their pastors, we do tell them that, you know, our model is not best at everything. There are advantages to having live instruction, residential instruction, especially for certain courses. So that is going to be a big plus for us to be able to add that little sort of live semester length format dimension to our training. Somebody else had a question, or yeah, whoever had a.
What are your immediate needs for Florida, and what would your wish list be?
For what now?
Your immediate needs as you come to Florida. Besides housing.
Oh yeah, you mean for the seminary as a whole, or for me, or?
For the seminary as a whole.
Yeah. Well, I think, Lord willing, we want to, you know, build a classroom with multiple cameras, you know, good lighting, so that we can regularly host modules, classes, recordings, things of that sort. RBS needs a room to house its library. We have a library of several thousand volumes. I understand here that there's a sort of a building plan in terms of like parking lot first, and then at some point build a sanctuary that would free up rooms here. So that's something to be praying about. And then I think that Pastor Jeff can.
Another thing we've looked into is renting office space, where there could be an office and classroom and a place for the library.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the way we have the library set up, it's all set up with a, you know, they have a barcode in the books, and we have a way to check out books. And so I think that, at least it was this way in Sacramento, we can check them out to the congregation as well. You know, I'm not sure how that exactly is going to work, but you'd have access to the library books. Couple thousand, I'm not sure. It needs to be updated because I think they stopped building the library back in the mid-90s. But, you know, some aspects of the library, you don't need to rebuild them. You know, you don't need to rebuild Owen. Owen's going to stay the same. But you know, there's newer books that come out. You want to be adding to your library, so we'll probably be doing that at some time, too. I was joking with the board. I said, well, you know, just help me get a big enough house and a couple of extra rooms, and we'll put the library there. Just joking, of course. Yes.
Okay. What is the main difference? I think you mentioned two more master's degrees outside of the MDiv. What would be the main distinction between an MDiv and those two other master's programs?
Good question. So basically, when we started, we had an MDiv, 90-some credits, and those courses were divided into four different areas of focus or specialization: exegetical theology, which is also biblical studies, historical, systematic, and practical. The other two master's degrees are basically utilizing the same courses, but just reconfiguring them. So 60 credits in biblical studies is going to be very heavy on the exegetical theology, and then you have some other electives to mix in. MA in theological studies is going to be very heavy on historical theology and systematics with some electives. Then underneath that, you have the smaller 34-credit program, and in that case, you have four different options, and you can specialize in, say, practical theology, and in which case you take all the practical theology courses that are part of the MDiv, and then just some extra electives. So that would be very focused. The nice thing about that, though, is since they're the same courses, same assignments, same requirements, those credits roll over into the bigger ones should you decide to continue. And so, you know, you're not losing any ground because those credits are going to still count towards the bigger degree. Pardon me? Oh, yeah, languages. So we have three courses in Greek, three courses in Hebrew, total of, you know, 9 credits, 18 credits total in biblical languages. It depends. So if you take, say, the Master of Theological Studies in Exegetical Theology, you have to take a year of Greek. If you take the Master of Arts in Biblical Studies, yes, all of the Greek, all of the Hebrew, because that's going to be the focus. Yep. Yes.
What size support staff do you think you're going to need, especially administrative?
That's a good question. So right now we have basically like 2.5 staff full-time, or, well, 2.5 official staff. Myself, Vadim, we're both full-time. And then we have a sort of a secretary / bookkeeper. She works part-time. But some of that's going to be transitioning. And Lord willing, we'll be acquiring some help locally here. We're at that point right now with we had close to 120 students one or two semesters ago. We're at that point, really, where we need more staff to handle the students. And so, but the catch-22 is that, you know, if you get more students, you need more staff, but to get more staff, you need more students. And so it's, but I think we're going to eventually roll over and get another staff person. I can foresee us having 2 or 3 or 4 more staff people, and as we grow, get more specialized. Have one staff person who's just mainly promotions, another staff person who's audio, video, things of that sort. Yes. About 125 or 26, and we're about to graduate, I think, another 9 since 2005. So initially, it was just a trickle. You got to wait a few years. You get one here, two there, And then over the last few semesters, we've had, you know, up to, we might have had 20 graduates one semester, but I think we had 14 maybe last year. So, yeah, I think we're about out of time, 10 o'clock. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to provide theological training to men and women in different parts of the world in a format that's flexible and affordable, and an education, Lord, that's sound and biblical. Lord, we don't profess to offer a perfect model. We don't profess to offer something that's infallible. We want to be humble about what we're doing, but we do want to give you thanks for what you've enabled us to do. And help us, Lord, throughout our ministry to maintain that humble posture of a servant, to remind ourselves that we are just the golf caddy. We're just coming alongside and helping others as they're training. We pray that you would get all the glory through what we do, that your churches would be strengthened, that new churches would be planted, and we ask this for your glory and our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.